This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كلام الله وأحسن الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار. All praise is due to Allah. We praise Him, we seek His aid, and we ask for His forgiveness. We seek refuge in Allah from the evils of ourselves and the evil consequences of our actions. Whomsoever Allah guides, none can lead astray, and whomsoever Allah leaves to go astray, none can guide. I testify that there is none worthy of our worship and devotion but the Almighty Allah alone. And I testify that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as he should be feared and die not except in surrender as Muslims. O mankind, be dutiful to your Lord who created you from a single person, and from him he created his wife, and from them both he created many men and women. And fear Allah through whom you demand your mutual rights, and observe the rights of your kin. Surely Allah is ever and all watcher over you. O you who believe, keep your duty to Allah, fear Him, and speak the truth. He will direct you to righteous deeds and will forgive your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has indeed attained a great achievement. The best words are the divine words of Allah the Almighty, and the best guidance is that of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And the worst things in the religion are the newly invented matters, for all the newly invented matters in religion are heretical innovation and bid'ah, and every bid'ah is misguidance. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, in many places, clarifies the reality of this life that we're going through, this journey that we are going through. And he describes it as a test and as temporary. And a test is going to be full of hardships, full of hurdles, challenges, and unexpected circumstances. It's not going to be an easy ride. For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed us on this earth for a reason, and that's to test us. And test cannot be achieved without people being pushed to their limit, being put to the test. This is why this life is full of problems. And if you were to consider life itself on earth is a problem. Life on earth itself, and a problem here, I don't mean that there is something morally wrong with it, but I just mean that it is difficult, it's a challenge. The word in Arabic that we use today for problem is mushkil or mushkila.
But that's a little bit of an updated use of the word mushkil. Mushkil in the Arabic language means confusing. Apparently confusing. On the surface, it's confusing. Now we started to apply this to the challenges in life. But in the older times, this was called ibtila, what we today call problems. The early generations of Muslims called that ibtila. The Quran calls it ibtila, a test. Allah puts you to the test. That's what this life is. But when we Muslims have been swallowing a lot of secular jargon and stuff and mindsets, unawarely, unconsciously, we started thinking in secular terms. We call them mushkila, problem. But Allah calls them tests. And you can see the difference between the two words. Each one takes you down a different path. Now, the best way to deal with the problems of life, the challenges and the tests of life, the best way to deal with this, or the best advice, the best source of advice that we have accessible to us, that can equip us with the knowledge, the skills, the mindset, and the necessary wisdom to handle the tests of life, what we call problems, is divine revelation, the Quran. And here I'm talking about problems and challenges at the level, at the personal level. At the personal level, you have inner problems. You have internal problems. Again, another secular world word that we borrowed with all of its problems is emotions. We call that the emotional life. The Muslims called it the inner life, the inner experience, the heart, the nafs. That's the word. And it's completely based on a different mindset. But we have borrowed stuff that is non-Islamic again, and we think we can handle the world with a non-Islamic mindset, a mindset that rejects Allah. This is what it's based on, denial of Allah. But again, this is not our topic. The best source where we can find the wisdom, the knowledge, the skills, the mindset, and all we need to be able to handle life's tests, which we call problems, is the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the way it was implemented and acted upon by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in his seerah, and then how his companions radiyallahu anhum afterwards, they implemented his own wisdom in their own life, in their unique circumstances. So what we will try to do briefly is to highlight some of the advice that we have in the Quran and the implementation from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to how to handle life's problems. So we have, as we said, personal problems, inner problems, internal problems that happen within ourselves. And again, we call them today emotional problems, psychological problems. Then we have relational problems. We have problems with our spouses. We have problems with our children, our siblings, our friends, with members of the community, with colleagues. We have problems with other people, social problems. Then we have, at a higher or wider social scale, we have problems that a society suffers from, or a community within a society suffers from. Then we have problems and challenges at the national level. Then we have problems at the level of the ummah itself, the global Muslim community. And then we have problems that are global to everyone else, to everyone here in existence. And the problems, or the wisdom that you find in the Quran, works at all levels. Works at all levels. And if you contemplate the state of many people, you will find that they bring about more problems into their life than they need to deal with. That's why, because they are using the wrong advice, implementing unhelpful, detrimental strategies that actually exacerbate their challenges and make them fail the test, and again, which we call problem. So we're just going to highlight some of the most foundational issues in the Quran that really help us position ourselves in this life, position ourselves in a way that gives us an advantage, a very powerful advantage, to handle life's tests, al-ibtila, the tests that Allah put us through. Again, I'm going to emphasize this again, so just don't feel bothered by that. What we call today problems. Life itself is a test. It's the biggest problem that you have, surviving this life, navigating this life, being able to deal with this life safely and make it back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without having to go to the hellfire, without having to be tested in the hellfire. That's the biggest challenge that you have. That's the central problem that you have. And if you don't figure it out, then all of your efforts to identify, to analyze, and to address other problems will be contaminated. Other problems will be misidentified, because this problem frames everything else in this life. Because the nature of problem or test and a solution, it has directional momentum. What we call a problem is something that pushes against our natural flow or our natural direction. Let's say you're trying to make some money as a business. Then some financial situation or some issues with the market limit your capacity to get profit, to make profit. Or some legislation work against the profit that you do and minimizes the margin of profit that you get. You call this a problem because it pushes against your direction. So that's the nature of problems. Problems are things that push against the direction that we are heading into. And the test of this life is that you take the direction that leads to Allah and Jannah. This is why we say in Surah Al-Fatiha, اِهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ. Take us, O Allah, guide us to the straight path. Guide us on the straight path. Keep us upon it. Path. You're talking about a path. You are on a journey. Shaykh al-Islam Taymiyyah rahimahullah says, النَّاسُ لَا يَزَالُوا مُسَافِرِينَ. And he says, الْحَيَاةُ سَفَرْ. This life is a journey. And people are always traveling. You're always traveling to Allah. So that's the direction that you should take, and that's the way you can pass this test, and that's the way you can succeed in the face of all of these problems. But when this direction is not clear in your heart, and you don't commit to it 100%, it becomes your reference point. Then you will not be able to recognize what's a real problem and what's a fake problem. You will be projecting your confusion on situations. You will call an opportunity a problem. And you would call a problem which is detrimental to you an opportunity. And you will act accordingly. So you're acting in your own detriment. You are being your own enemy. And that's why the Arabs say, Al-jahilu adubu nafsihi. The ignorant person is the enemy of himself. Why? Because they're acting on lack of wisdom and lack of knowledge. And what they do exacerbates the problems that they have and brings about new problems, unnecessary problems. So without identifying the real problem, the central problem of this life, and committing to that direction, we're going to invite into our lives a lot of unnecessary problems. We will misidentify situations that are good and conducive to our well-being. We'll identify them as problems. So dealing with a problem is not a one-step or a linear process of a couple of steps. Dealing with problems is more of a strategic attitude. It's more about positioning yourself in this life right, so you can minimize the problems and their potential, and then you can make the best out of them and propel yourself in the direction of success with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٍ فَلَنُحْيِيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Whoever does righteousness, acts, does works of righteousness, good deeds, and good deeds are not limited. There's a huge spectrum of good deeds. While they are in a state of belief, male or female, we shall give them a good life. We shall give them a good life. لنحيينه حياة طيبة ولنجزينهم أجرهم بأحسن ما كانوا يعملون. And we shall reward them according to the best of their deeds on the day of judgment. So Allah promises that if you follow the guidance of the Quran and the Sunnah, that Allah is going to give you a good life here in this world. And Allah says in the Quran, people think the Quran is something that has nothing to do with life. The problems of life need what we call secular education. The Quran just makes you feel good. It gives you spiritual high. No, that's not true. The Quran is here to fix this worldly life and our destiny in the next. That's why Allah sent down the Quran as guidance. And Allah says, just pointing to this fact, that if you truly commit to the worship of Allah and the direction to worshiping Allah, so you position yourself strategically in this life, a lot of your problems are just going to go away. And a lot of the persisting problems will become weaker. And they will open up for solution. Allah says in the Quran, وَلَوْ أَنَّهُمْ فَعَلُوا مَا يُوعَظُونَ بِهِ لَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُمْ وَأَشَدَّ تَثْبِيتًا وَإِذَا لَآتَيْنَاهُمْ مِنْ لَدُنَّا أَجْرًا عَظِيمًا وَلَهَدَيْنَاهُمْ صِرَاطًا مُسْتَقِيمًا. Allah says, had they done what they were commanded, had they done what they were advised to do, what they were instructed to do, it would have been better for them. They would have achieved better results. So if you think by disobeying Allah you're getting a better result, then you are fooling yourself. You are incurring more problems, but you don't see. Because when you don't truly commit to Allah, even your perception is confused. You will not be able to see a problem as a problem. So you will be inviting more problems while not seeing that and thinking you're smart. And the Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith that is collected by Imam Ahmad al-Musnad, it's an authentic hadith, من كانت الدنيا همه جعل الله شتت الله أمره وجعل فقره بين عينيه ولم يأته من الدنيا إلا ما كتب له ومن كانت الآخرة همه جعل الله غناه جمع الله له أمره وجعل غناه في قلبه وأتته الدنيا وهي راغمة. Whoever has this worldly life as their main concern, meaning they're not committed to Allah. This life for them is a pursuit of the pleasures of this life. Wealth, reputation, power, wealth, the toys of this world. Then Allah, the Prophet ﷺ says, then Allah will increase the worries, which we call problems. Allah will increase the worries of this person and magnify them. And Allah will place a sense of lack and poverty right in front of their eyes, meaning wherever they go, they will never be satisfied and they will never get enough. They will become too greedy and unable to satisfy that greed. So it becomes a rat race chasing something that is unattainable. And they would only get from this dunya what Allah already wrote for them. It will not increase their provision. وَمَنْ كَانَتِ الْآخِرَةُ هَمَّهُ. Whoever has the akhirah as their main focus, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They know here that their problem is to make it safe back to Allah, back to Jannah. That's what this life is. And every detail in your life is supposed to be part of this journey. Then for this kind of person who has this focus on Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will reduce their worries. Allah will reduce their problems and their concerns and simplify their life. And وَجَعَلَ غِنَاهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. And Allah will place a sense of satisfaction, richness, wealth, and abundance in the heart of this person. So they're more wealthy than people who have much more than they have. وَأَتَتْهُ الدُّنْيَا وَهِيَ رَاغِمَةً. And this life will come to the service of this person, even if it's against its own will. So if you want to solve your problems, personal, relational, social, or even global, the problems that the Muslim Ummah faces, And we've been in this vicious cycle as an ummah for the last 350 years. And we've been trying the same solutions, committing the same mistakes. We're not learning from the problems. And we're still where we are, and we're actually worse off. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the level of the ummah, Allah says, إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ. If you truly commit to Allah and give Him His rights, and make Him the highest in your pursuits, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you victory, will give you dominance. We still read that, you know, we turn a blind eye, and then we are more convinced about material means than we are convinced of the promise of Allah. And then we say, why doesn't Allah answer our dua? So when we Muslims, at least a critical mass among the Muslims, have this focus to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, things will change. The dynamics of life are more than what we see. And Allah promised that if people uphold His guidance and make it the uppermost, and they live for it truthfully, without cutting corners, without winging their approach to Islam, without being pretentious and focusing only on showing off, but it's something genuine in their hearts, then Allah will change the dynamics of the world. And Allah has done it many times. The Quran is testimony to this. The hadith of the Prophet ﷺ is testimony to this. The life of the Prophet ﷺ is testimony to this. And Muslim history testifies to this as well. But we are not convinced. Why? Because it seems that we believe in modern theories of history and politics more than we believe in Islam. Yes, it's serious. Let's call a spade a spade. So that's one of the biggest frames that and problems and issues that we have. If you truly identify the biggest and central problem in this life, a lot of the problems will go away. Then a lot of them, the solutions for them will reveal themselves. And it's not just lip service. But you know what? We're not giving it a chance. We're not trusting Allah enough to really do that. So that's why we stay in this vicious cycle of doubt. Then one of the biggest issues that we as an ummah have to understand is that in order to act, we need knowledge. In Islam, acting without knowledge is haram. Haram. If you don't have the knowledge, and what that means, the proper knowledge to handle or deal with a situation, you should not venture into it. Allah says clearly in the Quran, وَلَا تَقْفُوا, do not pursue. وَلَا تَقْفُوا مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ, that which you don't have knowledge about. And knowledge here is enough, sufficient knowledge. Not just you heard a few things, or you read a couple of books, or you heard or you listened to a few lectures or podcasts and think, oh, I have the knowledge. No, this is the delusion of knowledge. And Allah says, then all of your senses you will be questioned about them. As Muslims, we're not supposed to act without knowledge. And if there's a situation, you should not volunteer to deal with it without knowledge. And that explains why the companions, radiallahu anhum, a question would be asked to one of them, and they would defer it to someone else, to someone else, to someone else. And the chain goes on and on until it comes back to the first person. Not because they didn't know. Not because they were just not interested or indifferent. No, because they knew that if they were to slip while giving an answer or giving guidance without having proper, complete knowledge about a situation, that they would be held accountable, and that's severe. But you know what? Now with social media, everyone speaks. Everyone is a scholar. And you know, with the ideologies that we have swallowed, everyone is an activist. All it takes is just go out on some kind of event and start speaking without knowing what the situation is. Without understanding how these things work. Without understanding what Islam says about this. And you have the masses now trying to tell the Muslim scholars when to speak and when not to speak. And what to say and what not to say. And what's your specialty? Computer science. Not to put computer science down. Pharmacology. Medicine. Engineering. History. Geography. What does this have to do with Islam? Just because you heard a few lectures? You don't know. You don't know. And Umar ibn Abdul Aziz radiallahu anhu, when he said a beautiful statement, he said, "Man amila bima la ya'lam, kana ma yufsidu akthara mimma yuslih." Whoever acts without knowledge, then the detriment that he brings, the damage that he brings, is more than the good that he will ever bring. But we don't believe in this because, you know, the dynamics of today tell you, oh, be an activist, raise your voice, let the world know about it, tell people what to do, raise awareness. And all of us are talking about matters we have no clue about. Muslims are shouting slogans that have shirk in them, that have defiance to Allah, that have ill thoughts about Allah, and they're not aware. I'm not talking about religion, I'm just being an activist. That's not an innocent place. A Muslim means someone who adheres by Islam. قولوا قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Again, I had more things in mind to say, but again, we run out of time. But just want to highlight a couple of things. In Islam, the Quran divides the Muslims into two types of people: those who have knowledge and those who don't have knowledge. Now, those who don't have knowledge are not completely ignorant as we might think. It means they have not reached mastery. They are not experts who spent their life studying Islam and reaching a level of mastery where they can speak with knowledge and understand the situation that they are applying Islam to. So those who don't know might have a lot of knowledge and might have a lot of, like, some general education and information, but they don't have knowledge, because what we call knowledge is not what most people have. That's just some sort of exposure. Knowledge is systematic and it has structure and has rules, and it has a certain chain of narration that you have to be part of, a tradition, to be given the right to speak and open your mouth. Allah divides Muslims into these two types: those who know, those who don't know. Those who know, not all of them know every situation, but when they have the knowledge about a situation, they should speak. And those who don't know, what are they supposed to do? Be activists? Go online and chase people and start doing things and saying things and suggesting solutions? No. Allah says, فَاسْأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge when you don't know. We have reached a time in our ummah when the masses want to tell the people who know what to do and what to say. It's really a fiasco. People, you don't know, that means you just don't know. How can you suggest? How can you profess? How can you oblige others and set ways to dealing with a situation? And it's not a matter of personal issues or not like that. But if you act without knowledge, you are harming the ummah. You are bringing detriment to the ummah. That's what it is. You act without knowledge, you're bringing more detriment. It's not innocent. It can't be innocent. And that the fact that you are not aware of the consequences doesn't mean they're not there. It doesn't mean that Allah is not going to hold you accountable. Because as a person who doesn't know, not from the people of knowledge, and have what it takes to be from the people of knowledge, you are not allowed to open this mouth and say anything. Period. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us. But just to close, if we Muslims stop believing in borrowed ideas and living according to those corrupted mindsets and ideologies, and just start to live more from the Quran and Islam and give more credit to it in our lives, things are not going to stay the same. Impossible. Impossible. But we Muslims are thinking like non-Muslims, most of us. A huge chunk of our thinking, of how we process the world and how we see the world and how we analyze and perceive the world and how we process everything, a lot of it is non-Islamic and runs contrary to Islam. Yeah. And that's why we have problems. And what can you do as an individual? You're not in a position of authority or influence. You know what? Allah will ask you about yourself. Be just a candle in this darkness. You might not achieve much. By the way, the things that really, the work that really gives impact to the ummah is built when no one sees. What you do in your private life, what you do in the privacy of your heart and your mind, your thoughts, your intentions, how you spend your time, what do you do at night How much patience you have in the face of the challenges of life for the sake of Allah. No one knows about your suffering. You're doing that for the sake of Allah. These are the things that lift the ummah. Yeah, they lift the ummah. They change the dynamics of the life that we live. But you know what? All of us, because of the ideologies we've swallowed, all of us want attention. All of us want to be public figures. And we think that's how to be a person of influence or a person of a positive impact in the world. These are the lies that were fed to us. It's all about showing off. It's all about personal pride. It's all about creating your personal legacy. There's nothing for Allah there. People use Allah as lip service. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us and forgive our sins. Allahumma aghfir lil mu'minina wal mu'minat wal muslimina wal muslimat al ahya' minhum wal amwat. Allahumma aghfir lana dhunubana wa israfana fi amrina. Thabbit aqdamana wa ansurna 'ala al qawmi al kafirin. اللهم أبرم لهذه الأمة أمر رشد يعز فيه أهل طاعتك ويذل فيه أهل معصيتك ويعمل فيه بكتابك وسنة نبيك صلى الله عليه وسلم. اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين. اللهم أحسن خاتمتنا في الأمور كلها. اللهم كن للمستضعفين من المؤمنين في كل مكان. اللهم كن لهم ناصرا ومعينا. اللهم كن للمسلمين في غزة وفي إدلب وفي السودان وفي سائر بلاد المسلمين. اللهم كن لهم، اللهم احفظهم بحفظك، اللهم أيدهم بتأييدك، اللهم كن لهم يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، وسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.